This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. It is Tampa Bay's turn today. In our NFC South preview, as we continue along this week, I've already done Carolina this week, the Atlanta Falcons. We'll do the Saints tomorrow. The Buccaneers are on the clock, a team that's not expected to contend for this division. Bruce Arians has come out of retirement to be their coach. They still are looking at Jameis Winston as if to say, all right, keep showing and proving to us that you can be the starting quarterback. But nevertheless, are the Buccaneers good enough to be a problem for teams? Yeah, maybe not a good team, maybe not a 10-win team, but can they give you a fight enough to make you worry a little bit? We're going to talk to Pat Donovan later on the show from WDAE in Tampa about the Buccaneers. Yesterday, we brought up the story of Carly Lloyd, the soccer player, who kicked a 55-yard field goal at Eagles camp. And she claimed that there were some teams or a team that was interested in her playing in a preseason game. She said she couldn't this Thursday because of a game that they have against Portugal, but she's considering it for 2020. Okay, I'm all for that. I really have to say, though, if I was her and I was going to do this and I was going to, you know, participate in it, I would really make sure that I did it with the gear and worked out a little bit. I would be worried that I don't want her to fall flat on her face. I don't want her to fail at this if she's going to do it. I'm a little worried about it. I know that sounds a little different because we've got this like girl power and they can do all this stuff, but I don't want her to fail. Like, right. I don't want her going out in a game and missing field goals because she didn't, you know, she went out to kick some balls. And then, of course, the pressure of the game, the wear, you know, I think she's going to kick with gear on. So I think she's going to do that. She's not going to walk into a locker room and go, hey, where are the shoulder pads? I hear you guys wear that and a couple of other things. But I don't want her to fall flat on because this could back. NFL fans they're a little tricky. And I don't want all the things that they've accomplished as athletes. I don't want this to be the gimmick that sets them back a little bit. You know, it's a dicey situation. All right, we'll talk a little bit about the Buccaneers. A little bit more on this story, on some of the talking heads around the media. That's next, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on SB Nation Radio. Pat Donovan, WDAE, will join us this hour as we'll talk Tampa Bay Buccaneers in our preview. You know, Ron, you take the good, you take the bad, and sometimes you take the Buccaneers in a preview. That's basically my assessment of the Bucs.
I was thinking about this driving in this morning. If there's one team I don't know a whole lot about in the NFL, it's the Buccaneers.
Yeah, it's a weird team. I don't know very many much things because they weren't relevant at all outside of Jameis Winston. Like, I don't know who's still on the team.
No, right? I have it's no like, clue.
Mike Evans. Yeah, if you told me Mike Evans now played for the Seahawks, I'd be like, oh, when did I miss that news?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, right? Like I don't know who runs the ball. It's just a weird team because I didn't see a lot of them on TV. They weren't on TV a lot. And, you know, they weren't very good. And it was Dirk Cutter's last team, and then Bruce Arians comes in. That's about it.
I just feel like we never talk about that.
Not at all.
Even the other doormats of the league. I mean, I'm sorry to call you a doormat, Cardinals or Bills or, you know, Jets last year didn't have a great record. Giants last year didn't have a great record. We still talked about you.
I think we talked about the Buccaneers last year when Ryan Fitzpatrick was great. Right?
Remember, we did.
Remember last year when they were they were on fire. Now they were let me look back on the schedule because I remember they played the Steelers in like the third week of the season. And they played really well. They came back, but they had beaten the Saints and they had beaten the Eagles. to start the season. And Fitzpatrick had threw for over 400 yards in both of those games. And the Buccaneers were now officially this threat, right? This team that was oh my God, it's Fitz magic, right? But even at the end of the Monday night game against Pittsburgh, Fitzpatrick again threw for 400 yards, and they came back in a game in which they trailed by a lot and almost pulled off the victory. Had the ball with a chance to take the lead in a game that Pittsburgh had dominated early, and then the Buccaneers fought back. After that, they disappeared.
Well, then they started going back and forth. They went back and forth between Fitzpatrick and Winston, mm-hmm. and both of them were playing like, no. I don't want to be the starter. Yep. You be the starter.
And looking at the game, they got throttled by the Bears in week four. They lost to the Falcons, the Bengals, Carolina, Washington, the Giants. They had an overtime win against the Buccaneers. The Browns at home. They lost the last four games of the season, and I have absolutely no idea what they did. You know what they were doing.
Yep.
Once the early magic was over, they disappeared off my radar, and I think a lot of people's radar. They were playing, you know, basic afternoon games that nobody was watching, and you know, nationally they were on no more Monday night football games. I don't know if they had a Sunday night game at all. I don't remember. They were good very, very early, and then goodbye, disappeared.
And they literally, I mean, it's just a team that you just don't know anything about.
Right. So now,
yeah, I'm curious who does run the Buffalo. I was sitting there, I was like, wasn't that Doug Martin?
Yeah, it was Doug Martin, and then he was hurt, and then I don't know.
I think Doug Martin plays with the Raiders now.
Peyton Barber? Is that who runs the ball?
No.
Does that sound familiar?
Didn't he retire?
Did Peyton Barber retire? We are making fun of the Buccaneers.
Of course we are. You know what?
Have we made fun of a team in these previews?
It's no. It is
as
Peyton
much
Harbor.
As we are having now?
It's Peyton Barber.
Like, do they even play in Tampa? Or do they play in Naples?
If a Buccaneer falls, does anyone hear it?
Right. Do they have early bird specials for all of the retirees?
All right. This doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
I'm looking at the quarterback depth chart provided by Buccaneers.com.
Right.
So the quarterback depth chart, you have Jameis Winston, Blaine Gabbert, Ryan Griffin. And then they have two other names.
Okay.
A Nick Fitzgerald. Okay. But that's not the name I'm confused about.
Okay.
You got to help me out this one. Because depending on how you look at it, fourth name or fifth name on this list is Vincent Testaverde.
Yeah, the son of Vinny Testaverde.
Is he really?
I saw that news. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Vinny Testaverde's kid.
He needs to just be put on the team.
Why not? His dad was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as their top draft pick back in the 80s.
If I told you that this was their front line, would you have known this on defense?
Okay.
William Galston.
Only because he was drafted there.
Vita Vea.
No. But he got hurt.
Right. He's their nose tackle. And right. Ndamukong Suh.
Ndamukong Suh is on the Buccaneers?
There we go.
What? How did we miss that news? Is Ndamukong Suh becoming that player that just bounces around now and we just ignore him?
No, he can't.
Did he? Come on. He had a good...
He was a dominant force.
Did he not have... Just recently, a pretty good season? Not that long ago? Two years ago?
Well, last year, wasn't he with the Rams?
Who was with the Rams?
Did he go to the Super Bowl with the Rams?
When did he make this move to the Buccaneers? that went under my radar. Listen, I pay attention to this stuff, and I didn't realize he went to the Buccaneers. Why? How did that happen? The Ndamukong Suh on the Tampa Bay Bucs. Oh, God, that's great. That is so funny.
He started all 16 games last year for the Rams.
Yeah.
Had 4.5 sacks.
My mother and father retired to Florida, and my father went, he's a Giants fan, huge Giants fan. And I think it was 2 years ago, he went to Tampa to see the Giants play, bought a ticket, to just one ticket to buy. He says he gets inundated with calls, like emails wanting to know if he's interested in buying season packs and things.
Of course.
Like why are they, you know, where is the, waiting list to buy season tickets in Tampa Bay, right? That doesn't exist. Like a like Redskins, forget it. Get your kid on the list and maybe his kids will be able to get season tickets. In Green Bay, put your name on the list and maybe your great-great-grandchildren might come up in time to get season tickets. In Tampa Bay, buy one ticket, it's spam central. Like nonstop inundation of wanting to get tickets. Just buy, buy, buy. Like, my wife's from St. Pete, Tampa area. I lived down there for a bit. I lived down there. It's when Tony Dungy in the late 90s had the Buccaneers. They were not predicted to do well in the 1997 season. They did surprisingly well and ended up going to the playoffs. They lost, but they surprisingly well turned everything around. All of a sudden, Tampa Bay was Trent Dilfer. It was Mike Alstott. It was John Lynch, Warren Sapp, and Rondé Barber. I mean, it was just a whole bunch of names that, you know, that team had and started, you know, remember they were playing pretty well. They needed that one kick. They needed to do two things to turn themselves into a Super Bowl champion back in early 2000s. One, they needed to win playoff games in cold weather. They were notorious for losing playoff games in cold weather. They just, if it was below 40 degrees, they had like this incredibly bizarre, no, forget playoff games. They were minus 40 degrees. They were like 0 for like 20 something. Like if it was below 40 degrees, they just did not win in the cold. And the second and third thing was they needed a new head coach. Tony Dungy just wasn't quite there, and they ended up with John Gruden, and then they needed a new quarterback. They didn't feel comfortable with Trent Dilfer, and they got Brad Johnson, and they ended up winning a Super Bowl. But how did they get Bruce Arians out of retirement to take over basically a project here? I mean, did he look at Jameis Winston and go, all right, no, this is the guy I'm going to come out of retirement for? I mean, Bruce Arians?
See, that to me sounds surprising. I could imagine. I mean, I think we were all talking about Bruce Arians going to the Browns
because we thought
we could see happening because you got a young defense, young team, both on offense and defense. This one, I mean, you could actually do something with it. You can actually mold it and shape it to be your own.
Yeah. And, I mean, Arians, is Arians a quarterback whisperer? Because he's kind of known for this, isn't he?
I guess.
He's worked with Peyton Manning. He's worked with Roethlisberger. He's worked with a number of guys in his career that are Carson Palmer is the first one that really should come to mind. But Jameis Winston, does he see enough talent? This is the guy that's going into his final year of his rookie contract. One, is it an opportunity to just be back in the game? Maybe the retirement wasn't what he wanted. He just went, look, I never really wanted to leave.
Maybe
he can't
stand his wife.
Yeah, and he just said, I ain't playing golf every day.
Yeah.
But listen, sometimes guys, and I think Bruce Arians, given his reputation in the league, because he has a very good reputation in the league, does Arians have that sort of, look, I'll stay retired until the right opportunity comes. I'm not going to jump on the first thing. I will look at teams and go, I don't know yet. All right, no, I don't know, maybe. And what was so appealing about Tampa Bay and Winston in general that he said, no, I'm gonna latch myself onto this. And maybe it is, I have 1 year with this guy before we make a decision on him as a quarterback. And that's a good challenge. And I'll see if I can do something with him. The Bucs offense was pretty good last year, but I think a lot of it was early statistics. And then let's see what we can do together. We're a 5-1 team. Maybe we do a little bit better. And go from there. Todd Bowles is there as a defensive coordinator. So we'll see. We'll talk to Pat Donovan about that coming up. It should give us a lot of insight. He's very good. Pat Donovan's one of my favorite guests that we have on the show.
Maybe he can tell us why should we pay attention to the Buccaneers?
That's right. Just give us a reason.
Know.
Yeah, give us
and
give me a reason.
And will Vincent Testaverde play this?
I want to know.
He's going to play. I think their game's on Thursday.
Yeah, he should play then.
All the NFL preseason games are on Thursday this week.
You know what's going to be interesting about this? And I know this for a fact, because Vinny Testaverde, when he was with the Browns, before they moved, his father, Vinny Testaverde's father, could not watch his son play football. And there was a story in Cleveland about how when Vinny would play, his dad would go to a mall or walk around. He did not want to be near a TV. He would find himself, go to a park. He did not want to watch his son play. It made him so nervous. He had such anxiety watching his son play. He didn't want to watch his son play because he just just, and he would stay away from the game, and then his son would tell him how he did later. I wonder if Vinny's like that with Vinny Jr. I wonder if he'll do the same thing. Like you say, you know, just to carry on that Testaverde tradition. Because he led the Browns to a few playoff games and some scares with the Steelers back in the early 90s. They were pretty, when they were a decent franchise before they moved to Baltimore and started winning some Super Bowls. So, but Buccaneers, this will be an interesting preview from the standpoint of there are a number of things about Winston and Arians and some other factors that are going along with this team. I don't know if they're one of those, hey, we're not that great, but watch out for us. We're up and coming kind of team. We'll see. Again, Pat Donovan will join us in about 15 minutes. We'll talk to him about that. It is SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, prepare for road trips. Before your travels begin, visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you go will ensure a safe journey. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Real quick, I want to get to Phil Mickelson, Ron. Mickelson's been doing great on Twitter, by the way.
Yes.
He's just really doing great. The other day, somebody asked him what he did. Just what was on your agenda? Mickelson, and I don't know if he's exaggerating this, but listen to some of the things Mickelson did yesterday. But this is the life of a professional golfer who now has time off. He worked out at 6:30 in the morning with a personal trainer. He went hiking with Amy, his wife, and carried a weight in each hand. He played beach volleyball for 3 hours, and then he swam a half a mile in the ocean. This guy is nearly 50 years old, right? God bless him. He is trying to get it in shape and lose weight and build muscle at an age where the body just doesn't like doing that anymore. It doesn't do that anymore. And good for him. I got to tell you, it's been inspirational because I'm sort of accepting as I've reached a certain age where I'm going, okay, maybe this is it. You know, I don't need to run to the gym every 5 minutes.
Maybe and you're now, done.
Yeah, maybe I'm done.
And have you seen the video of him in slow motion running on the beach with the weights?
No.
Go to his Twitter.
Is it good?
I'm in Cavs for days.
Oh, God.
It actually, one of the articles that led me to that Twitter site said, you know, it's not safe for work.
Yeah.
to see these calf muscles and their gloriousness. Yeah.
He's lost so much weight.
He has. Listen, I started coaching my son's soccer team yesterday, so I was running around with them for a little bit. I'm sore today.
Oh, I know.
I'm tired. Yeah. I can't wait to go home and just lay in bed and forget about life for a little bit.
It is I yesterday my son said, "Hey, you want to go to the gym?" The gym, I'm not kidding, Ron. The gym is less than a mile from my house. And I went, nah, I don't feel like it.
It's a little far.
Like, it's just...
Well, you start thinking about it all. You know, it's like, I don't want to get in the car. Right. Putting that key into the ignition,
no.
that's some effort.
I got to press the gas pedal.
Ooh. Oh, Lord.
Then I got to make that turn at the stop sign right out of the cul-de-sac. I don't want to do that.
No, thank you.
No thanks at all. Finding parking. Who wants to do that? So I just went, no.
You have to walk upstairs.
So my son was like, oh, I'll go.
I belonged to this one gym, and you had to walk upstairs to get to the gym. And I was like, ah, God, that's such a pain.
A pain.
Now, why do I got to walk upstairs to get to the gym?
Mickelson's got a gym in his house. The guy comes to the house at 6 o'clock in the morning.
See,
and work
now, if I had that kind of thing, had that going on, I would work out. I'd have a guy come, and he'd wake me up.
Plus, afterwards, he has a steam and a sauna and all the little bells and whistles that you'd want from a gym. He's
probably a personal masseuse.
Right.
He comes in. Like, you know, this calf muscle that's just popping right now.
Yeah, believe it.
Can you just rub it out for
exactly.
me?
Exactly. Yesterday, Jason Whitlock on Twitter had a very interesting point about this Carly Lloyd situation. I want to say, I keep saying her first name wrong. It's Carly Lloyd. And I got to make sure I get
Lloyd.
That right.
What are you calling her?
I think I was calling him Carrie Lloyd.
Carrie Lloyd?
Yeah, but I don't want to do that. He said that he's been watching these shows, these ESPN shows. And he said everyone on the panel, when asked if she could kick in the NFL, if she could be an NFL kicker, everyone said yes.
And he said, I'm blown away by this, that people are so afraid to say, to tell the truth. You and I said yesterday that, you know, I'm not saying no, but I'm not saying yes, and it's going to be really hard. And I think people are afraid to say, this is very unlikely to happen.
Yeah.
And the reality is, it is very unlikely that she will get a job kicking footballs in the NFL, or if she wants one, or any other female soccer player get kicking field goals in the NFL. And I know that's not the thing to say in 2019. I get it. And people will blow you up on Twitter for that. But you guys, it's the truth. There are only, let me put it, we talk about this with quarterbacks all the time, right? How many legit starting quarterbacks are there in the National Football League, right? 15, 16. Everyone else has kind of got a guy that may or may not make it.
And Nathan Peterman, if you will.
Exactly. But every team will have two on their roster, right?
Yep.
So there are going to be 64 guys that are going to be paid money to play quarterback in the National Football League. Some will play and some will be on the bench, but every team will at least have two guys that they keep on their roster that they pay money for to play quarterback. There are only 32 paychecks that go to place kickers.
Barely.
Right? Barely.
Barely 32. Barely, if they could, there would only be 30.
Right. I'm telling you, you want to talk about job? I mean, the slimmest of margins.
I would say if it was possible, the Rams and Chargers and maybe the Giants and Jets, if they both had home games the same weekend, they would share a kicker.
Sure they would. Sure, yeah. I mean, it is really, really hard to do this. And so I think Whitlock is right. There is just this fear of being the guy that says, hey, I'm not anti-woman. I'm not sexist. I'm not misogynistic. I'm not a male chauvinist. I'm giving you real factors here. When there is an opening, there are a line of really, 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 really good kickers that will go for that job.
Yeah, I'll put it to a step further. All right. Forget that it's Carly Lloyd. David Beckham. I don't think David Beckham would make a great kicker.
I agree.
He is one of the best pure passers the soccer has ever seen.
I completely agree.
He used to be able to drop a ball on a dime from like 30 yards out. But there's something different when you get all the pads and you know that someone is just there to run and just all they want to do is murder you. You know, there is something that's a little bit different. I mean, your focus is a little bit different. You have to kick it a certain way. We've moved on from, you know, toe kickers. You know, you hear the terms. You don't even hear the term soccer style kicker anymore. You used to, but you don't hear it anymore because everyone's a soccer style kicker now. But I don't think David Beckham could have done it. I mean, would he have made a few field goals? Sure, of course
sure,
he would.
And she would too. And Carly Lloyd would too. I'm not saying that she can't kick a ball through the uprights. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying to land a job where you are one of the 32 best on the planet at that given moment to do it, guys.
And honestly,
let's not do this.
And we pointed this out yesterday. It doesn't necessarily mean the 32 best,
right?
Because I mean, Dan Bailey is a great kicker, but he was cut because he was too great of a kicker. He was too expensive.
Too expensive. I mean,
so
it is.
You can put him like in the top five when he got cut. But teams are just like, you know what? They're not really going for the 32 best. They're going for, okay, what can we get at this price?
And the position, in terms of getting a job, the position, it is because Adam Vinatieri has been kicking forever and ever and ever. And right, so if you're really good at it, the job opening isn't there. So think about Adam Vinatieri. Adam Vinatieri, as long as he's been in the league, has held one of the 32 starting jobs, starting place. That means everyone else has basically been competing for. Now you can go down the list of all the other guys that have been in the league forever, right? Guys have these jobs for like 15 to 20 years. If you're really, really, really good at it, if you're an elite kicker, you keep that job forever. That means the window of opportunity for kids coming out of college to be place kickers in the National Football League is very, very, very narrow. The idea that a female soccer kicker with no football background, just because she can kick a ball really well, could just take one of these jobs, it's not being sexist and misogynistic to say that would be really, really hard to do. It would be really hard to do. Sure, I'd love to see it. I have a daughter. I would love for her to see that. But the realism is it's probably not going to happen.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it has been NFC South week this week, and we're going to hit to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in our preview. Pat Donovan, WEDAE, joins us from Tampa, St. Pete, brought to you by Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. That's Progressive. How are you, Pat?
Oh, I'm doing really well. It's good to almost finally have real football back.
I hear you. Hey, can I ask you a quick question? Because my wife is from Tampa Bay, the Tampa Bay area, and I always say, when people say going to Tampa Bay, do you guys, is that an acceptable term? Oh, because it's either Tampa or St. Pete or Clearwater, right? If you go to Tampa Bay, aren't you in the water?
Well, technically, yeah, you would be. And I'm sure there are some people here that take that a little more seriously than I do. I've only been here about 13 years now, so I didn't grow up in Tampa Bay, and maybe if I did, that would make me a little angrier than it does, but no, it doesn't bother me at all.
Okay, good.
But yeah, you're either in Tampa or St. Pete, technically, usually, unless you are out on a boat, right? But it doesn't bother me. I'm sure it might bother some. Something seems to bother everyone, right?
Because every time I go down there, I say, we're going to Tampa Bay, and she goes, St. Pete. I go, whatever, stop. It's been doing this forever. Bruce Arians comes out of retirement. This job, how appealing is this job from the pieces that the Buccaneers have for him to come out of retirement and take this team over?
I mean, for him, it certainly was pretty appealing, right? I think for a lot of people, they're not quite sure why. I think there's still a lot of question marks on this team. As a matter of fact, I had a guest the other day that I thought put it brilliantly by saying the theme of this football team right now might be question marks.
Yeah.
But clearly there is a relationship existing there between Bruce Arians and Jameis Winston. I know that was part of the draw. A lot of people are pretty down on Jameis after the last couple of seasons, but Bruce Arians is a guy who still believes in him quite a bit, and that was certainly part of him taking this job.
There is, Bruce Arians does have that history with other quarterbacks in the league. Has he said some of the things that he likes about Jameis Winston? I know there's some things to improve on, but what are the things that he likes about his quarterback?
Yeah, he's been extremely positive on Jameis Winston, and I think that, you know, like anybody who is high on Jameis Winston or believes that Jameis Winston can take it to the next level, a lot of that is about intangibles. Jameis is one of the best leaders and teammates that you could ever be around, regardless of how things are going. That guy's just a positive guy to be around in the locker room, and I think guys gravitate to that, and I think that's something that Bruce Arians likes as well. But listen, this is a kid that went first overall for a reason. Granted, he certainly had some struggles in the NFL on both off the field and on the field, but he went first overall for a lot of reasons. And you know, you might remember Steve Mariucci, who does so much great work with the NFL Network, talking about when he put him on a grease board. He was one of the smartest, or I think he called him the most savvy X's and O's quarterback he's ever put on a grease board during the draft process. You know, when you think about some of the quarterbacks Steve Mariucci has worked with, that's pretty amazing. So while Jameis has struggled to kind of put some of that together on the field and cut down on the turnovers, he's a really intelligent young quarterback with a lot of great leadership and teammate skills that still make you want to believe that this guy is a guy that can take it to that next level.
Who does he throw to mostly? Now with DeSean Jackson out, Adam Humphries is gone. Mike Evans is still there. O.J. Howard's still there. Who are the other guys that are going to make up his receiving core?
Yeah, we saw before his injury last season, O.J. start to become one of the better tight ends in the NFL. I wouldn't be very surprised if we start to see that happen even more this year, more of a progression there. And you talked about Mike Evans, obviously one of the top receivers in this league, a guy that's had a good couple of years to start his career, though, but I believe is going to take a giant leap, and I'm probably not the first one to say this to you this year, is Chris Godwin. And we've seen a lot of good things from Chris Godwin the first couple of years in his career and with the Buccaneers, but when you listen to Bruce Arians and the way they want to use Chris Godwin, he's a guy in two receiver sets who's going to be on the outside as your second receiver, but when they bring in a third receiver who's often going to be Breshad Perriman, you're going to see Chris Godwin a lot of times move into that slot position. And for a kid with the size and the strength of Chris Godwin, he's going to be tough for a lot of nickel corners to deal with. And I think he's a guy that, whether it's outside at that two receiver or moving inside to the slot, he's going to see an absolute ton of targets. And if he makes the catches, and we've seen that more times than not outside of a little stretch last year where he kind of had some drops, he's been very good. And this preseason, this training camp has been exceptional at bringing the ball in. He's going to get a lot of targets. He's going to get a lot of catches, probably end up with a lot of touchdowns. I'm not a fantasy football guy, but he's a guy I'd be keeping an eye on in fantasy if he starts to drop, because I think he's going to have a very good season.
Pat Donovan joins us, WDAE in Tampa, to talk Buccaneers in our preview on the Progressive Insurance Hotline. Running game for Bruce Arians. One, how important is it in his offense? And two, does he believe in Peyton Barber?
I think he does. I think the actions of this football team since he's been here to really not, I mean, unless you consider Andre Ellington addressing that position, right? Really not addressing that position in a real serious way. I think it shows, A, they've got a lot of confidence that Rojo, Ronald Jones, who was awful, let's just say it, he was awful as a rookie, they have a lot of confidence that he can kind of take the next step. Because even if Peyton Barber is really good, you need Ronald Jones to be good as well. But I think it shows a ton of confidence in Peyton Barber, and I'm one of those guys that's very high on the Peyton Barber bandwagon. A lot of people believe he's just a second-rate back and he's not good enough to be that guy. I think those people aren't paying attention, to be honest with you. I think when you watch every snap of Buccaneer football, you've seen this kid run behind a poor offensive line the last couple of years, and I'm not convinced that's getting a whole lot better. But when you open up holes for Peyton Barber, he hits those holes, he picks up positive yardage, and he doesn't go down easy. He's a guy who puts his head down. You guys probably remember the story. Peyton Barber left college a year earlier than he should have because his mom was homeless and he wanted to get his mother a home. And, right. And I tell people all the time, I still think he runs the football like he's still trying to get his mom that home. He's a guy I don't want to tackle. I don't want to get in front of. And if he gets holes, I think Peyton Barber is going to show people he's a lot better running back than they realize.
One of the things when I was looking at this team, I noticed that Byron Leftwich is the offensive coordinator, and I thought, oh, that's pretty interesting. Here's a guy that had played with Bruce Arians, and what is his relationship with Jameis Winston? What do you think Leftwich will bring to the offense?
I think they're going to have an unbelievable relationship, and certainly it started out very positively. But, you know, for Jameis, you're talking about a guy who played quarterback in the NFL, who's as tough as they come. Listen, if Byron Leftwich tells you to nut up a little bit, then you nut up a little bit because he
right.
had his ass dragged down a football field, right? Like, you don't tell Byron Leftwich that things are hurting right now, okay? I think that's going to be a great relationship, and I'm really excited for Byron Leftwich. I look at Byron Leftwich, and a lot of people view him as a guy that is potentially a future head coach, and when you look at the belief that Bruce Arians has in him, giving him full control of the play calling. I think that, you know, the way this organization is set up, we know Bruce Arians is only going to be here for 2-3 years, right? He says if they win a Super Bowl in year two, not that anyone believes that, but he says if they were to win a Super Bowl next season, he'd walk away. Who knows if that's true, but no matter how it goes down, we realize he's a guy that is not going to be here long term, and I think he's almost grooming Byron Leftwich, if not Todd Bowles, to be the guy who takes over. And again, if it's not taken over in Tampa when Bruce Arians decides to hang it up, if he lasts here this long, I think Byron Leftwich is a guy that is ascending very much in the coaching ranks and people believe will be a head coach. And I think it this year will play into that a lot, right? How he does as a full-time offensive coordinator, full-time play caller, how he works with Jameis Winston will do a lot to either help prove that he's on that path or maybe disprove that a little bit, set him back a little bit. But Byron Leftwich is certainly a guy that a lot of people believe in. And I've always said, I know a little bit about football. Bruce Arians knows about a billion times more than I do.
Yeah.
If Bruce Arians has that kind of belief in Byron Leftwich, I'd be silly not to.
Yeah, I actually like that move. I was really excited to see that because I like Byron Leftwich a lot. I think he's a very, very smart football player. Gerald McCoy, Ndamukong Suh swap, right? McCoy out, Sue in. How do you view that? How do you view that on the defense? Is that on the scale? Does it balance or does it tilt one way, positive or negative?
You know, Gerald McCoy for me was one of the more underappreciated athletes I've seen in my career covering sports in Tampa Bay. Such a good football player and just for so long was not respected by a lot of Buccaneer fans simply because he wasn't Warren Sapp. And while on the football field you'd love to be Warren Sapp, right? Off the football field, Gerald McCoy's a hell of a lot better of a person. But as a football player, listen, I don't know that he fits into this 3-4 scheme, this aggressive attacking scheme that Todd Bowles wants to run, as well as an Ndamukong Suh does. I think Suh is a more physical football player and is a guy that we've seen Gerald get upfield. He can certainly play in an attacking defense. And we're going to see him in a 3-4. And part of my argument when they let him go was, hey, I just think Ndamukong Suh is a much better fit for a 3-4, but the Carolina Panthers clearly disagree because they're running a 3-4 and they brought Gerald McCoy in. So we'll get to, what's interesting is we'll get to see both guys play in a 3-4 defense this year and really be able to have that conversation about which one is better. I love Gerald McCoy the person. I love Gerald McCoy the football player. I just think Ndamukong Suh is a little bit more dominant of a player, a better fit for this system. And I think it was a very good move for the Buccaneers, especially when you consider the cap hell this football team was under. They saved money. Let's not forget it. Just the football players aside, they saved money by releasing Gerald McCoy and bringing in Ndamukong Suh. Of all the moves we will criticize Jason Light for, I think that was one of the stronger moves. I think Sue is going to be very good for this defense. That attitude is something this team has needed for a long, long time. And just the fact that Todd Bowles is going to bring in an attacking defense, this area hasn't seen an attacking defense since I've been in town. And I know they can't wait for it.
Staying on that defense, this the guy that they drafted in Devin White, I was so high on him. I talked to a lot of guys in Denver, my friends in Colorado, and I said, guys, if the Broncos can get this guy, get this guy. They needed some linebacker help. What has he been like in camp? What do they think he'll be and how important he'll be in this defensive scheme?
He is going to be more important than I think anybody realizes. Anybody outside of that organization. Because here's the thing. He's a guy, Devin White, and he's one of those guys when you're around, you go, have you been hiding in this locker room for a few years and I just didn't know? Because there's nothing rookie about him, right? His mentality, his attitude, his intelligence, there's nothing that comes across that this kid's a rookie in Devin White. And I hate to call anybody a can't-miss prospect because we've seen can't-miss prospects lose a million times in this league. But he's about as close as they come, and I've heard that from a lot of people and just everybody around him, the people that are in that building every day, which I used to be. Now I've been promoted to a full-time host, so I'm not there every day. But the people who are in that building every day will just tell you he's unbelievably impressive. I think he's had a bit of a quiet offseason. I'm sorry, preseason. But at the same time, you know, he hasn't played a ton of snaps. I think they know they're going to rely on heavily come the season. But the reason why I think he's going to be more important than people realize is middle linebacker is a hugely important position for any football team. But when you look at the Buccaneers and the scheme they're going to run defensively, they're just, listen, Carl Nassib right now, today, until Jason Pierre-Paul, which if he comes back will be late this season, right now today, Carl Nassib might be your best outside pass rusher. Mm. All right, if Noah Spence doesn't take a huge leap, that's Carl Nassib. And I think the way they remedy that, especially when they get Levante David fully healthy, I think the way they remedy that is you're going to see, especially with big guys inside like Ndamukong Suh and Vita Vea once he's healthy, you're going to see a lot of double-A gap blitzes with Devin White and Levante David coming together right up. And if not both, then one of those guys right up the middle of the defense. And I think they're going to rely on Devin White as a pass rusher almost as much as that field general. So that's how important he's going to be. He's going to have to help that defense in multiple ways if they're going to be good.
Pat, always great talking to you. Hope to catch up with you during the season, my friend. Thank you so much, as always.
Anytime.
You got it. Pat Donovan, WDAE, down in Tampa. Great radio station down there. Good people down there. Again, on a Progressive Insurance Hotline, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Final thoughts on the Buccaneers as we wrap up our NFL preview or NFC South week on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. This is the thing about Tampa Bay. I think we talked about this with Jacksonville a little bit. There are obviously cities in this country where if the NFL team is doing bad, there's an uprising, right? People are angry. They're so loyal. They're so into the team. You better be careful. Tampa Bay has not made the playoffs since 2007. Do they worry about... Yeah, good run. Yeah, making sure they have the Januarys off. Do they worry about apathy? It's a lot different than anger, but it doesn't feel like there is an uprising in that city. No, this team is not good.
Because I feel like you can't trust Tampa fan.
Are they more of a it's more of a college area.
Oh, I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying Tampa doesn't if we were to rate fan bases, and maybe we should sometime just rate
maybe
fan
we
bases.
Should. Yeah, based on our own observations.
Yeah, I think Tampa has the worst fan base out of all the major sports.
Out of all the major sports?
Yeah.
If you include baseball too.
Yeah. They include hockey. Yeah.
Dude, very few people are it's like my wife was born and raised there, but very few people are from there. Like every time I go there, it's always somebody's from Detroit or somebody's from New Hampshire or somebody's from upstate New York, or and they come with their own fandom. Yankee games there are packed.
Yep.
Like the Yankees have a facility there in the spring training. It's packed.
But put a Buccaneers Royals game, or not a Buccaneers Royals, Marlins.
Rays.
Rays. Why can't I think of the team? Yeah, Rays Royals, you're not going to have any fans.
Yeah, it's. But, when they won the Super Bowl, man, that was a good time for Florida sports at the time.
That was.
There was a segment of time where the Lightning won the Cup, the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl, the Gators were winning national championships in football and basketball.
The Rays were in contention.
Rays went to a World Series in 2007, 2008. There was a period of time where things were really going well. Buccaneers had won the Super Bowl, but since then it's the Lightning had the best points and lost in the first round of the playoffs. SB Nation Radio.